Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
They have to figure out another way of doing it, and there are other ways of doing it. Pile drivers, it happens very quickly, there's not a lot of pain, and you don't miss.
And now, Handle on the News. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Bill Handle.
KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Wednesday morning, November 23, the day before Thanksgiving. And it's, well, tomorrow, Neil Saavedra fills in for me, as he does every single Thanksgiving and tomorrow. And it's inevitably he'll be asked about the Butterball turkey, and he tries not to be biographical about it. What he does, Neil's put on a couple of pounds.
What? Was that necessary?
No, absolutely not.
Just threw it out there.
Yeah. Wanted to start the show that way. There you go.
You guys are friends?
Oh, yeah. We're very good friends.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Let's dwell on it, too.
All right. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning, Handle.
Wayne, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. Alex.
Morning.
Jiminy Christmas, you guys.
Jiminy Christmas. Very strong. Dana, you're out there someplace?
Good morning.
Good morning. And Tyler, good morning.
Hey, Bill. Good morning.
All right. We're going to start the news, of course, and I'll do that in a second about the shooting at the Walmart in Virginia. All right. Before we do start, I want everybody to record into their cell phones, all right, your own voice, record our prayers and our thoughts are with the families of the victims. Okay, just put that in your phone, and whenever anybody talks about it, all you do is press the button and you can play it back. That way, you don't have to actually have any effort to say that, because it's just, you know, just too many times takes a lot of effort. It's pretty depressing. It really is. So no doubt we'll talk about that as we open the news. I was going to say something else. And you know what? I completely forgot.
You know what you could say?
What?
Lead story.
Yeah, I could. No, I could. There was something else I was going to talk about. Yeah, Neil filling in tomorrow. Butterball turkey. I already went through that. You know what? It wasn't that important, was it?
Lead story.
Okay. Handle on the News brought to you by the Lemon Law Experts at Knight Law Group. If you think your car might be a lemon, call 844-43-LEMON. Jennifer, Wayne, me, lead story. And unfortunately, it's another mass shooting. What is it, 3 days after the previous mass shooting?
At the Q nightclub.
Q nightclub, yeah. And I think five people were killed. This one, six people were killed. Actually, seven, because the gunner put
seven,
but we don't call him people. So it's six people and the gunman who decided to blow his own brains out. And he got his timing completely wrong, because what he did is he shot the people first instead of killing himself first. And these guys never, and it's always a male, by the way. I think I was just asked about that. So, Jennifer, you're going to be following up on this. I know there was a press conference that happened at 5 o'clock our morning that you pay our time and you're paying attention to this. What is the latest that we have?
So it's six people, just like you said, four that were wounded by the shooter. And the shooter, they have determined, was a manager at this Walmart. He walked into a break room, started shooting the people who were in the break room. So it's assumed that the six people who were dead, that they were the employees in the break room.
Right.
What they're trying to determine, two things. The four people who were injured, were they customers or were they employees? and then also a motive for this.
Yeah, we're assuming that in the break room, everybody there is an employee. I don't think they let people in. That's the assumption. Also, you're right, the motive, and they're going to be looking very carefully at his relationship. Was it a targeted shooting? Was a specific relationship that went sour? I mean, we don't know.
Was he on shift? Was he not? Did he go home, get the gun, come back? Was it in his car? Well, I mean,
we'll find out. As the morning pans out, we'll see if more information. Of course, you're on top of it.
I
was just going to say let's continue, but I don't have to say that because you're continuing.
The Biden administration will extend the pause on the student loan payments again, even though there are these lawsuits that have been brought against the president's loan program during the upcoming term. But the extension is intended to give time to the Supreme Court to rule on those lawsuits.
Yeah, I'll be doing more of that at 750, because there's a whole lot to this. And it's all politics. And I don't know who's politicking more, the Republicans, the Democrats, Joe Biden. As far as Joe Biden is concerned, the Republicans want students to starve. And as far as the Democrats as far as the Republicans are concerned, Biden wants to give away all of our money. And it's a fascinating fight. By the way, having very little to do with the student loan forgiveness plan itself, it has morphed into something far greater. How about just, here's a loan forgiveness, thank you. No way, Jose.
Well, there was a fight at SoFi Stadium after the Chargers-Chiefs game Sunday. What's notable here, two things. One, there's video of it. And number two, apparently started, somebody bumped into somebody, but it ended with one guy body slamming another guy over the railing, and he fell many, many feet onto hard concrete, but then was able to get up and was last seen standing of his own volition. So I don't think that he was terribly, terribly hurt, thank goodness.
No, he clearly landed in a good spot and in a good way. Well, spot concrete isn't so good, but landed in such a way that he was very lucky. Usually people, because your head is far heavier than any other part of your body, usually go head first. That is problematic. Was he arrested? Do we know the guy who did the body slamming and threw him over the
rail? Well, that's the interesting thing, is there's no follow-up here on whether anybody was arrested or not.
Yeah. And the other thing, what charges would apply? I think that if I had my way and I was king of the world, or could pass laws with complete impunity, first of all, we'd all be in a lot of trouble. That's for starters. Second of all, I would deem in a public place like this, a fight or when you hurt someone as an enhancement.
That it was in public?
Yeah. No, not in public. In a facility for like a sports venue or a rock venue, a concert venue, I would do an enhancement.
All like right. Normally, I would press you on your thinking, but it's time for a news update from Jennifer Jones-Lee.
Thank
goodness. So you escape my scrutiny this time, Mr. Handel.
Thank goodness. I hate that. Oh, I put my arms up in the air. I'm dodging bullets here.
Well, a pilot and a TV meteorologist were the only ones killed in the crash of the helicopter on an interstate in York Mount, which is right around Charlotte, North Carolina. That pilot is being hailed as a hero, and here's why. Because he was able to do what they say was everything that he could have done in his power to avoid hitting drivers on the interstate. So he was, I mean, obviously the helicopter was going down, but he was able to steer it to the very last minute away from it hurting anybody else. But unfortunately, he and the meteorologist died in the crash.
Did you see the video or the photos?
Yes.
I mean, he was feet away from the highway where there are a bunch of cars that were driving. He would have hit those cars. I think it's fair to say he's a genuine hero under these circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely.
Helicopter. We don't have helicopters at our stations. We only have airplanes that are rented and are flown by student pilots because it's a money issue. I'm just making fun of iHeart. Okay. When in doubt, always go to the lowest common financial denominator. You know,
to Jeff Baugh and your pilot this morning, we apologize for Handel's comments.
No, no, I'm willing to bet that the pilot that Jeff flies with has 60, 65 hours in the air. I'm sure they're a lot cheaper that way. Okay, let's move on.
Help is on the way for people in California with overdue utility bills because of the pandemic and the shutdown. Governor Gavin Newsom, Jen, has announced that the state will release $647 million in funding specifically to help households pay these overdue energy bills for balances accrued between March 4, 2020 and the end of 2021. They think it's going to help more than 1.4 million households.
Yeah, a couple things about this. I'm assuming this program's already in place. California Arrearage Payment Program. So I think it's not additional money out of the general fund right now. The other thing, it's consumer doesn't apply for it. It's the utility that applies on behalf of the consumer.
Right. So the consumer doesn't have to do anything.
Yeah, which is kind of neat. I mean, if you're going to do that, because there's a lot of people, for example, people who probably are nailed the worst and can least afford it generally have the less wherewithal to do this sort of stuff.
This is the way to do any kind of thing like this. You know, the renter relief stuff?
Yeah.
That all should have been landlords. I know. On behalf of the renters. Right. Not you put the responsibility for getting the money on the people who ultimately are supposed to get the money. In this case, the utilities. In the renters' case, the landlords. Yeah. And it works. It actually works much better right. When you do it that way.
Yeah, well, in the case of the rent relief, to your point, the rent relief program, it was fairly complicated. And people did not know how to do it. There are people that just didn't know where to go. And they needed it as much or more than other people did.
Well, Handel, you've talked about this. How much work can get done if you've got these protesters chanting and shouting at the LA City Council meetings, and it's all over them demanding that council members Kevin DeLeon and Gil Cedillo resign. Those two, of course, were caught up in that racist recording that leaked that Nury Martinez, who was the president, stepped down after. And I think it's a legitimate question. I mean, as you point out, Gil Cedillo is out in December anyway because, you know, he's termed out. But for Kevin DeLeon, at what point does his presence become such a hindrance to getting any work done on the LA City Council?
Oh, that point was the day after the tapes leaked.
Well, and the way that he says, well, my area needs to be represented,
know,
and that's the whole reason
and
I'm
that's
saying.
Like, what else is he going to say if he insists on not resigning?
But my whole point is if he wants to get work done for his area or whatever, let somebody else represent it because no work's getting done while you're on the council.
Hey, just a quick aside. I just want to move over because I just saw, as you know, I have CNN and Fox up in the studio on the monitors. And I just noticed as CNN came up with some stats, inflation and how much more dinner was going to cost for Thanksgiving. Turkey up 23%. I mean, across the board. And then literally it was pie crusts up 28%. So instead of spending 60 cents on a pie crust, you're going to spend 28% more. I just thought that was fascinating. It's the old pie crust inflation. That'll kill you every time, won't it?
Ice cream this year. That's what we're doing. No more pies.
There you go.
Hey, the LA City Council did get some business done. They voted 10-0 to start phasing out oil and gas extraction in LA, and one day it will be illegal to drill for oil in the city of Los Angeles. This is their flipping of the bird to big oil.
Yeah. And go ahead.
It starts with the city attorney has to prepare an ordinance to prohibit any new oil and gas extraction and to start phasing out the existing stuff. So, I mean, this is down the road a ways, but their attitude is interesting to me because they're treating the oil companies like the oil companies came in under cover of night and shoved sticks in the ground and started stealing our oil. And this was all approved. All those things were approved. It was all part of the economy. And now all of a sudden, that's how villainous the oil companies are?
A couple things. First of all, people don't think the city of Los Angeles is a place where they drill for oil. Actually, the city of Los Angeles was an oil center. And if you go down La Brea, instead of taking the 405 from the valley to, let's say, LAX, so you take La Brea, there are oil derricks. There are pumps all the way down. I mean, by the dozens, if not the hundreds. So oil drilling, I don't think they drill for oil anymore, but there's lots of pumping, and they also are going to phase out pumping, too. You know, that seen that oil pump right next to Beverly Hills High? I don't know if it's still there, but it looks like this monolithic kind of thing. They cover it up, so it doesn't look like an oil well, but it's literally next to Beverly Hills High.
So, now, there are a lot of health problems related to living around these things, and I'm not against phasing it out at all. It's the attitude, though. They're not saying, like, these are the cogent, sober reasons that we are pursuing this strategy. This is like, oil, you suck. Get out of our city.
Yeah, and this is not just a political statement. I mean, this is real stuff. Oil is being pumped.
Yes.
All right. I think we can do one before we break.
All right. L.A. City Councilman Paul Koretz wants to ban the sale of new gas cars by 2030. This would just go along with what the governor would like to do. And so he also said that beginning with all such cars that cost over $28,000 by 2028 and cars that cost $22,000 by 2029 and then 2030. So he's, you know, recognizes the fact that as the cars become more expensive, there's probably more of an opportunity to make them into EVs.
Now, the state of California, Gavin Newsom, sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's okay.
Not really. Gavin Newsom is making it 2035 for the sale of new cars. It has to be EV cars. So Koretz wants the city of Los Angeles. And I think this, I have to tell you something. I think this is going to go very far with the city because, for example, let's say you live in North Hollywood and you can't buy an EV because of this law. So you go exactly, I don't know, 2 miles into the city of Burbank and buy a gas car?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. Boy, this does a lot, doesn't it?
Jen, what paragraph of his motion had the part about his plan to make sure that there's charging stations everywhere for the people who aren't allowed to buy gas cars anymore? Was that in that motion?
You know what? I think that motion, that part of the motion is a blank.
Did his dog eat it?
Probably. That whole infrastructure part that goes along with these good ideas? That part. Mm-hmm.
All right, buckle in for this story.
Ooh.
A woman is driving in her car in the Palmdale area. She is being chased by her ex-boyfriend who is chasing her in his car. She's calling her family for help. They're calling 911. And at some point, the two cars hit each other. Then the boyfriend is out of his car trying to get into her car when dad shows up. And dad shoots ex-boyfriend in the head dead. That's the story. Now, dad should have stayed. Instead, unfortunately, dad, identified as Jose Mendoza, took off and is apparently, unless he's been captured in the last couple hours, is still on the run. And authorities are saying, you know, stay away from him if you see him. I don't know how you would know you're seeing him because we don't know what he looks like. No description, but stay away from him if you see him because he's considered to still be armed. And I do feel now he's making it worse. And if he had simply stayed there, I don't know how much trouble he would be in, but I feel like it wouldn't be as much trouble as running away makes the situation.
I don't know if the two are necessarily connected to each other.
You think what? He have another reason to run away?
I think he may have panicked. I mean, there's all kinds of defenses there. I mean, I have no idea. But the optics are bad. Legally, I don't know because it's a separate issue. For example, if you have a hit and run, right? And it is, you're not at fault, but you still bail out of there. You are guilty of the leaving. You're not guilty of the underlying accident or whatever they're arguing. This one is, and I'm just looking at it, the shooting, was it justified?
Did it
appear that she was in danger? Did he have, so he's trying to break in. Was he trying to break in with something?
Did he have a gun, a weapon?
I'm not crowbar. Assuming a weapon. If it was a weapon, there'd be no issue. I mean, it's a justified shooting instantly. But
also a history here. It's not. It wasn't a stranger trying to attack his dog, break in and attack his. Well, I'm assuming attack. It was somebody they knew. They had broken up. And I guarantee you dad knows something about this guy and what he is capable of or what dad believes he's capable of. And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If he had simply waited and explained.
To your point.
And then, you know, and then a DA maybe goes, well, technically, you know, technically you crossed a line when you shot him in the head. And let's work out something that is perhaps agreeable under the circumstances. But instead now he's a fugitive, apparently.
You know, to your point, the at least the optics don't look very good. At least they're not going to sit and be, you know, particularly gentle with him when they catch him.
Bill Handel, do you love your daughters enough to shoot a guy in the head?
Not even close. Not even close, for God's sake. All right, let's move on.
The LAPD officer has been fired. He's the guy who fired the rifle member inside the Burlington Coat Factory and killed a 14-year-old girl who was in the dressing room.
Yep.
Remember this story?
Sure.
He fired three times when cops went to this Burlington store where there was a guy who had attacked two women. And now the police commission ruled that that officer was justified in firing once, but that his two subsequent shots were out of policy. How does that work? So you can shoot once if you're a cop, but
You got me on that one.
I'm confused why.
Use of force gets evaluated action by action.
Shot by shot under shot by these shot, circumstances?
Blow by blow. You remember the federal trial of the cops who beat up Rodney King?
Yes, I do.
And they were convicted.
Yes.
And they went to prison. And the judge, Judge Davies, said at the time, he went through it meticulously, and he said, all of this beating him up is fine. All of this beating him up, this was fine. The last, and I don't remember if it was the last three or four or seven blows, he said that's where they crossed the line and that's where it became a crime and that's why they're going to jail.
Yeah, because it was excessive?
Yes, it was. They crossed the line.
There was a point at which, looking at it in hindsight, there was no longer a justification for using force,
and
which
you can
is
see
what
that.
They did here. But here's the thing.
This one
it
I don't
wasn't
know.
Shot. Wait. Shot. And so I understand what they're doing with the analysis, but from a practical standpoint, if you're trying to be a police officer on the street and you're told you perceived the kind of danger where you shoot and the first shot was totally good, but then you shot two more times when you shouldn't have, don't you throw up your hands and say this is an impossible job then?
Yeah, you do.
Or you never shoot again.
Yeah, good point. And it's it does become, in my head, I can see the Rodney King beating. There was a point when he was no longer, he's on the ground, or when people, when cops have someone handcuffed and they continue on. That is fairly easy to ascertain and go, you should have stopped. I mean, that is not impossible. But to your point, you're shooting and you got the right to shoot a cop. And you have to stop at one or stop at two. And cops are trained to unload their weapons. It is not a shoot to wound when you unload a weapon. It is a shoot. It's not even shoot to kill. People think it's a shoot to kill. It is a shoot to make sure that the suspect is no longer a threat. He's now on the ground. And how many shots does that take when you're shooting someone? No, you could miss a vital organ. They can still shoot. They can still hit you. This one makes no sense, at least to me. There must be something else going on here, Wayne.
It's very difficult when you're doing it in hindsight
to
put yourself in the mind of the officer, because there are things we know now that he didn't know. The guy didn't have a gun. He had a bicycle lock. We know that now, and you can try to compartmentalize it, but it's going to creep into your analysis, and that's to the disbenefit of the officer. A jury has cleared the NCAA of any wrongdoing in the death of a former USC football player. The lawsuit was filed by his wife, who said that he suffered brain damage while playing football for USC, and that led to his death. And the jury said, we don't see enough evidence of that.
This is so troublesome, because if it turns out, let's say he would win, and somehow the appeals court upholds it, and then you have it goes all the way up. That literally is the death of tackle football in this country. I can see it just disappearing. It's just an entire industry and sport just completely disappearing.
Now they had to, your mind probably is already gone here, Bill. They couldn't just say he played football and so he had head injuries. They claimed that the NCAA unreasonably increased the risk of head injuries inherent. There's a certain amount that's inherent in playing football, and that they somehow increased the risk.
Yeah, I don't get it.
And obviously they weren't able to convince a jury that that was so.
Yeah, you know, I can see football, tackle football, now being played. You know those suits that you rent for birthday parties? Those big sumo wrestling suits that you bash each other around.
Oh, yeah.
That I could see football teams wearing those and playing tackle football.
Well, it's just the head. The thing is, it's just the head.
All right, so you just wear the head.
It's the head-to-head contact that is basically the problem. Now, I don't know if you could just say no head-to-head, no helmet-to-helmet contact.
It doesn't matter.
It's a massive, massive foul. What we're going to do is any helmet-to-helmet contact, both players draw a massive foul and an immediate fine, and then I don't know what the game looks like. Yeah. I don't know how they play.
By the way, you can't use your helmet. You can't butt using your helmet anyway right now. And if it's
But there's a lot of incidental helmet-to-helmet contact.
Yeah, but how do you play tackle football without that?
You can't.
That's
what I'm saying.
So you're going to tackle someone?
Go to flag football.
Yeah. Can you imagine that? Boy, that's exciting. Flag football.
Will there ever be a time, though, where it's just going to be, hey, you know the risks of the game, so play it or don't?
There is now. There is now. Everybody knows about CTE. But if you smoke, what, some jury is going to hold a tobacco company liable now for anybody smoking and getting cancer?
No, I guess what I'm saying is how far are these rules and regulations and things going to go until it just becomes, okay, like you said, we either go to flag football or we just say, you know what, you play the game. You take the risk.
That's what I think is happening now.
But you can't stop any. You can't stop people from suing.
No, you can't.
You can't stop the lawsuits from being filed. This can happen. Yeah. Here's the thing. The way they're trying to address it primarily, there's some rule changes, but also, and we've talked about it, Bill, on the show, you have different helmet technology.
Right. And they're working on that.
So that the contact simply doesn't produce the same force.
But have you seen what those helmets look like, the latest version? They're really dumb looking. I mean, they are pretty stupid. You can't be professional. Oh, by the way, you can stop people from suing. You can take the English model where if you sue and lose, you pay all the attorney's fees on both sides. You pay a pro rata share of the upkeep of the courtroom and the courthouse, including the toilet paper. They figure out how much it's costing you to use the court time. Yeah, they're very leery about suing in the UK. Those lawsuits don't fly very often. You got to be really sure of winning.
Blake Trolley is joining us in just a couple of minutes to go live on this story, so I'm just going to give you kind of a preview on it. But there's a 15-year-old boy who has been charged in the theft of those two French bulldogs on the 6th Street Bridge. People just walking along, a car pulls up, takes the dogs. So Blake's going to get into this in just a few minutes. He's at the 6th Street Bridge this morning, so we'll be going to him live in 4 minutes.
Okay. I'm not super comfortable with this story, so I will limit my participation to factual things. Two women held a press conference and they accused boxing legend George Foreman of sexually abusing them years ago when they were underage. They say they met George Foreman through their fathers, who were associates of George Foreman, and that he groomed them and that he did these terrible things. I can't tell if litigation has been filed at this point, and I'm not aware of any criminal investigations against George Foreman at this point.
Yeah, we don't know. It's so early in
we do know
the accusatory
for George,
stage. Go ahead.
An attorney for George Foreman did say that the claims are false and that these women are just trying to extort money from
him. That's a given, all right? That's exactly what you would expect in response. But you're right. It's way too early. We don't have enough information at all. Oh, here's a woman who needs some anger management classes.
Or she might just want to ask, hi, who are you, when she calls her boyfriend.
Can you do this and save the answer to that question till the
absolutely.
End?
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay, good.
Thank you. There's a woman who calls her boyfriend on FaceTime in Texas, and a woman answers the phone. And Sonata Soto flies into a jealous rage. In fact, she sets the couch on fire in her boyfriend's living room of his house, and quickly the whole house goes up in flames. And she says, to the woman on the other side of the phone, hope your stuff's going to be okay. Hope your house is going to be okay. And then drives off. And to add insult to injuries, as she's driving away, she grabbed a bunch of things out of her boyfriend's home to steal them as she went away because she's so jealous. Here's the problem. She's arrested on and charged with burglary, habitation, and arson. And if she had just asked the woman, hey, who are you? The woman could have said, I'm one of your boyfriend's relatives.
Not good. Yeah. And
dummy.
What was her last statement before she's carted off? Never mind.
Just kidding. Oopsie.
Man, setting your boyfriend's couch on fire is one thing. Then FaceTiming him to show him his couch on fire.
Well, if you're going to do it,
is a whole nother level.
If you're going to do it, let's go all the way. Come on. All right, let's. I think we can do one more really quickly.
A guy, upon hearing a jury's verdict that he's guilty of armed robbery, drank a cup of bleach in the courtroom. He immediately got sick. They took him to the hospital. He is in stable condition, and now everybody wants to know, how did he get a cup of bleach?
Right.
In the courtroom, and his family's really mad. Not only how did he get a cup of bleach, but why was he allowed to drink the whole cup before anybody did anything?
And as they're dragging him out after he drinks the bleach, and he's screaming, "The election was rigged." Okay.
Oh.
We're done on this. Okay, it's the old bleach. Never mind. Coming up, LA voters. They want more money to fight homelessness. Now they want to see results. And Karen Bass is given a mandate that she cannot meet. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.